being in that place where we can be available to the Lord, because that's the place of blessing. That's where I want my life. It's not I want the Lord always available to me. It's I want to be available to Him. And so if you're living your life always putting band-aids on yourself spiritually, what is left to dress the wounds of others? What is left in you to do anything for the King?
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching a special message entitled A Place of Blessing. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Now here's Pastor Rick with today's special message, A Place of Blessing.
What do you think would be the first stop to getting any answer spiritually? Sight of the Lord. And that's what he's given. In verse 4, if you look with me, and this sight of the Lord is going to be so deep, it's going to knock him into a deep sleep. Verse 4, now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. This is a pre-incarnate vision of Christ. It matches perfectly with Revelation chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 that John saw in the Apocalypse. Now, of course, as I'm reading that, I'm wanting to comment on, for instance, the 24th day of the first month. Well, the first month of the Jew was the month of Passover, and the 14th was the Passover. And then the 15th, for the next 7 days, was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So this is 3 days after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, ten after the Passover. And that gives a spiritual coloring, and there's so much to say in this, but again, we need to press forward. But what I want to bring out of this section in his vision, he says, I was left alone when I saw the great vision. No strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Whatever about me was strong and beautiful and attractive as humans go, in the presence of this one was nothing, was dust. It was unattractive. I had nothing in his presence, nothing. We have a song like that. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to your cross I cling. Well, that is the sentiment that is expressed by Daniel. And so the beginning of the place of blessing is this sight of the Lord, who he is, and that will always tell me who I am not. If I am honest with myself and I get a sight of the Christ, I will get a good look at me too. Job said it this way when he saw the Lord. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. That's quite intense. And so may we remember that our God, our Christ, is the Holy One. That's how Isaiah spoke of him, the Holy One of Israel. It was the one that died on the cross for me. He did it for me. He did it for you too. But it's very important that first I get that for me. Because what value is it if he died for others and not you? And so it means something. Then, after the Lord had showed himself, an angel is dispatched. And this angel touches Daniel, the first of three touches in this chapter alone. Contact with heaven is what it is speaking of. Again, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit that is greater. But our purposes are a little bit different from Daniel's. Daniel was to uphold the righteousness of Yahweh before the Jews, to lay out a plan that this Yahweh was giving for all humanity. Where ours differs, well, it's not really different, it's more of a development, a perfection. We have a name. We have a life to attach to the prophecies that they did not have. Isaiah could not say his name will be Jesus, as we know the angel told the New Testament believers in the first days in the announcement of Christ's birth. His name will be Jesus. Emmanuel, God will be with us in Jesus. And so we, today, our role is not to have visions and dreams. Ours is to preach what the visions and dreams were pointing to, and that is the Christ and the cross and the way of salvation. And so this angel comes, and he touches Daniel. Look at me, verse 10. And suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And while he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I have been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days to come. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. There, in this really happened. Remember that. This is not, literature of somebody, writing a clever story. This is the prophetic word of God, and it has been preserved, which comes, that alone brings a message with it. When God says, I've preserved this for you, and then it is for me to benefit from, to God's glory. But here he is, he's received this vision, he's confused about it, then he receives a sight of the Lord, and he is knocked down and out of the picture for a moment. Then he is touched by the angel, and now he's going to get more revelation, and the revelation concerns the end times. He got to see the suffering and the horrors, because these are the things that was making him mourn and making him sick. The physical reaction, so intense were these things. Well, we have had similar experiences with bad dreams. You can wake up from a bad dream sweating. You're screaming even. You'd be kind of off your game for a while. Well, this wasn't a dream. This was history to come. And so here we see the prophet face to the ground and speechless. That's important. Because as you're reading this 10th chapter, you're watching the man Daniel. And you're seeing what he's going through. You watch the other guys flee while he stands and sees the Lord. Then you see him fall face down, the scripture says, in his sleep. And then the angel touches him. Then he tells him to stand, and he's trembling. But before that, he was on his hands and knees trembling. It is the attitude of deep humility and his willingness to surrender and listen. That's why the word comes out. He was speechless. At this point, there was nothing for him to say. There was only for things for him to receive. He would get to speak them later. So the place of blessing is the place where self collapses. The place of blessing is where the old man has no power. He's not going to cooperate. We understand that. Personal surrender, personal weakness before the Lord, personal humility. This goes against our understanding of the world. We feel quite the opposite. And at sometimes it's justified. I mean, if you're going to chop a tree down with the axe, you need all your strength. But we're not talking about chopping trees down with axes. We're talking about being in that place where we can be available to the Lord, because that's the place of blessing. That's where I want my life. It's not I want the Lord always available to me. It's I want to be available to him. And so if you're living your life always putting band-aids on yourself spiritually, what is left to dress the wounds of others? What is left in you to do anything for the king? You're on the casualty list. You don't have to be there. Satan has told you you have to be there. Satan has magnified your problems. Your flesh is accommodating him. Your spirit has surrendered to the wrong influences. You need to get to the place where you can be strong, where you can be useful, where you can be a blessing. That's not a yellow brick road. But there are some frightening flying monkeys on it, though. My truck's glad there's no such thing as flying monkeys. It's having a hard enough time with the birds. But anyway, personal surrender, the right to be handled by God, the right to renounce self and to be His, the right to let God appear that He is forsaking you when He is not, and by faith continue with Him nonetheless. What can Satan do against that? Nothing. And so here's the blessings here, right here, where it awaits. Spiritual surrender. Daniel chapter 10, verse 16. Look with me, please. "And suddenly one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, 'My Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me, nor is any breath left in me.'" This is quite intense. You need a uniform to go through, a body armor to go through this kind of vision, it seems. Now, this son of man that touches him is not the son of man. He is in the likeness of the sons of man. It's an angelic being like in human form. God has different ones up there. He's got them with six wings. He's got them with, you know, eyes all over. He's got all these other created things. And these angels that interact with the humans are in human form, as we look and see from the scripture. But back to this, here he is again smitten, and he is touched for the second time. And the first touch humbled the man of God. The second touch opened the prophet's lips. We're reminded of Isaiah. When the angel flew to him with the coals and hot coals and put them on his lips, I would have been screaming, "Get that coal away from me." But not in the spirit. It's a different thing. And the revelation that came from that when Isaiah's lips were touched, "Woe am I, for I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people who are just like me, sinners, in the presence not of an angry God, but of a holy God. A holy God who is ready to love, but able to be angry." That's just good doctrine based on sound revelation. And so the second angel touches the prophet, opens the prophet's lips after his confession of weakness. He was very clear about that. He wasn't trying to play tough guy. "Well, you know, I've had prophecies before. I can handle this. I'm skilled at being a prophet now. Did you see that whole lion thing? You know, the angel Lord shut the mouths. That was me there in the den, and I was pretty cool about the whole thing." No, that's not Daniel. The third touch strengthens the man of God. Look at me at verse 18. "Then again, the one having the likeness of a son of man touched me and strengthened me." Who doesn't want that? What Christian wants to be touched and made weaker? Jacob was touched by the angel of the Lord, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. He's made stronger. Oh, he'd walk with a limp and a squeak the rest of his life, but he was stronger. And so here it continues, verse 19, our text. "And he said, 'O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong, yes, be strong.' So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, 'Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me.'" He He's at the place where he can receive. You know how many times we are somewhat numbskulls when the Lord sends some servant to speak something into us, but we put our walls up because we know everything already. We've been there. Oh, I've heard a sermon on that one. I know it back. Oh, I did a study on that one. I know it. Oh, I got the guide on that one. I know it. You can't receive anything. God can't speak to you. He can't pour into you those rich things of heaven because you're filled up with the gook of self. And so to feel the presence of the Lord is a beautiful thing, but you can feel disqualified too. Maybe you read this about Daniel and say, well, I understand Daniel getting the visions. You just shared some of the things about his life, that this man was legendary in his walk, in his service. But that's not me. Not so fast. Not so fast. First off, while our eyes are on Daniel, they are always focused on God. We see what's going on. We see that what's in front of us. But our hearts are locked in on the Lord. That's who we see. That's who the star of it all is. Take the Lord out of the picture, then it just becomes literature. It's a novel. It's a story. It's something other. But because it is God's word, it is something greater. And that's where my eyes go. The New Testament, John wanted to make sure that the early church, those first Christians, he wanted to make sure they understood that God loved them, that they were secure in their faith, and they were not secure outside of it. Those in Christ Jesus, Paul wrote, no condemnation. Those outside of Christ Jesus, no salvation. That's what the scripture teaches. 1 John chapter 3, he says, behold, look at this. What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. So these words, they are available to me, and under the right circumstances, they are totally available. But until those circumstances come, I can draw from them for my own benefit. I build a levee with these words. That's what sermons are supposed to do. Another bag of sand on the levee, another mound of earth to keep back the flood. That's what sermons are supposed to do. That's what your devotion time is supposed to do. If you do not have a devotion time, how are you devoted? If you do not give your time to the Lord in the Word and in prayer, your devotion is built on what? Origami or something else. A paper tiger at best. But there's nothing there. You've got to devote. And to devote means to take by force. You want to give time to the Lord? You better take it, because it's not going to fly into your lap. Because if it flies into your lap, you're going to get distracted and end up doing something else anyway. Understand these things are important to hear over and over again. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross, is that not mark enough to know that you're special to God? You do not have to be the most special. There's no such thing for us. You just have to be special enough. And how do you become special enough? You surrender. You go to the cross. You admit the facts about yourself, that you are a sinner in the presence of a holy God. And something has to be done. And those of us that have done that, the next step is to do something now. Not to just, okay, your burden has been rolled away, Christian. No more, the story ends there. How come Bunyan didn't end Pilgrim's Progress at that point, where the character Christian gets saved, the burden rolls off his back at the cross? How come the story doesn't end there? Because it doesn't end there in real life. The story goes on with his trek towards that city, that holy Mount Zion, towards heaven, and all of the difficulties that he had to face in the process. And so it is for us. And so he says, fear not. Fear not, Daniel, he says it in verse 12 and in verse 19. I like that. I like that because if the best of the best, Daniel, if he suffers fear, if he had to be strengthened, if God needed to give him a talking to to encourage him, then me too. He's going to do that for me also. Don't let some shaman tell you that fear is unique, that you need something to help you with fear that they have, and you need to take it every day if you're going to be strong. Don't believe it. You know those commercials, not feeling happy in the morning? Who does? Anybody wakes up, chirpy, needs to be slapped. I mean, is something wrong? Who does that? Many of us, we know we don't need a pill, but that coffee sure goes a long way. The fact is, that's life. You're living life. It tells you you're alive. It tells you you're not in heaven yet. You don't feel happy. You're joyless. Welcome to the club. What are you going to do about it? And so many have anxiety and almost walk around with a badge. Yes, I've been diagnosed with anxiety. You say, there's nothing funny about that. You got that right. Who does not suffer fear? And that's why the Lord is heard saying over and over again, fear not, fear not, fear not. Because we all have it. We all have to deal with it. How are you going to deal with it? I've tried doing it by faith. Well, keep trying. Because it's worked for the saints down through the ages, and it's supposed to work for you too. You say, I don't like hearing this. You're anxious about hearing it, aren't you? Some of you. Be strong. Be strong. And what did Daniel say? He strengthened me. I got strong. Let's go back to our text again. Daniel 10, verse 19. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Shalom. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. And that's what I am making a clumsy attempt at this morning, is strengthening all of us. Even the most strongest of us needs to be strengthened, not with human strength, not with natural might and courage, but that which comes down from heaven. There are reasons to fear everywhere. All you have to do is pick those reasons up. There are also reasons for strength everywhere, and all you have to do is look up. So you're either going to bend down and pick up the fear, or you're going to look up. Now, this is not disallow those things in life that chase us. For me, one of the most hateful things I have in this life is when one of my children are sick. I just hate that. And I can pray and it doesn't get fixed right away. I keep praying. It's not going to take my faith from me. It's just where a fight is, a fight. There are other things that I am terrified of. People that just drop in unannounced. I'm terrified of that. Quick, turn the lights out. They already saw us. That's okay. They'll get the hint. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not. It's all over your Bibles. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I have been here. I have been here where I've claimed this verse, brother, verse, and it not work. So the devil thought. The proof that it did work is I'm still in the Word. I'm still following. I'm still going after the Lord. I've not been stopped. I've been hit a couple of dings here and there, but I'm still in it. I've not dropped out. And so we must handle fear, as I alluded to earlier, as though we're living in a flood zone. You build a levee. You get ready to support the levee when the storms come. Jesus said it this way, and which of you by worrying could add one cubit to his stature? Worrying's not going to bring you the results that you want, is what Jesus is saying. Now, he knows the fight that comes with it, but he never encourages us to quit.
You have to love that about our King. He's a king. He's not going to talk like he's not a king.
This has been another edition of Cross Reference Radio with Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. Pastor Rick will continue sharing this in-depth study taught from the Word of God next time. Now, we want to be sure to tell you how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Simply log on to www.crossreferenceradio.com. That's crossreferenceradio.com. Our website has today's message available for you to download. Place a marker in your Bibles and join us next time as Pastor Rick will continue teaching through God's Word. That's next time on Cross Reference Radio.